Welcome to Midnight Amen Session, Dub Siren Warp in Ableton Live 12, the advanced version. In this lesson, we're not building some generic reggae-style siren. We're designing a dark, warping, rave-ready effects instrument that can live inside drum and bass, jungle and heavy rolling bass music without sounding cheesy or out of place. Think of this more like a performance tool than a preset. The goal is a siren that can rise, fall, wobble, destabilize, and cut through a dense amen break without fighting the kick, snare, or sub. By the end, you should have something that feels like a haunted radio transmission from the edge of a warehouse rave. First, a big picture note before we touch any devices. In this kind of sound design, phrase design matters as much as tone. So don't think only about what the siren sounds like in one moment. Think about what it does over time. Does it announce the next section? Does it escalate tension? Does it destabilize right before the drop? That mindset is what makes this feel musical instead of random. Let's start by creating a dedicated MIDI track and naming it Dub Siren Warp. Keep it separate from your drum and bass elements so you can automate it cleanly, resample it later, and route it into returns if you want dub-style throws. If you like, color it something bold so it stands out in the arrangement. Now for the source. You've got two strong stock options in Ableton Live 12, Operator or Waveatable. Operator is great if you want a cleaner, more functional siren core that reacts really well to processing. Waveatable is better if you want a thicker, more modern, more characterful tone with more motion already built in. If you go with Operator, keep it simple. Start with a sine wave on oscillator A. Keep the other oscillators off at first and use pitch movement to create the siren motion. If you want a little extra bite, bring in a tiny amount of FM, but stay subtle. The point here is to build a clear, pure core that the effects chain can shape later. If you go with Waveatable, start with a basic Waveatable like a sine or triangle style source, and keep unison low, maybe 2 to 4 voices max. A little detune can help, but don't smear it too early. You want movement, not a blurry pad. Set your starting note in the middle register, something like C4, D4, or F4. That range usually sits nicely in a drum and bass mix without becoming too mellow or too piercing. Now let's talk about pitch motion, because a static siren won't do the job. A dub siren needs to feel alive. You can do this a couple of ways. One way is to draw MIDI notes that rise and fall in a deliberate pattern. Start with a held note, jump up a fifth or an octave, then fall back down. That classic rise and fall movement is part of the language of the sound. A second way is to use modulation. If you have an LFO tool or any modulation device in Live 12, map it to pitch, filter cutoff, Waveatable position or frequency shift. A sync triangle or sine LFO at 1/4 or 1/8 can feel controlled and musical. If you want a more broken, haunted vibe, try a free-running unsynced LFO so the siren feels like it's drifting out of calibration. That kind of instability works really well in darker jungle and halftime passages. Next, insert auto filter after the synth. This is where the siren starts to get its dub character. A low-pass filter with a bit of resonance is a strong starting point. Keep the cutoff somewhere in the mid-range, then automate it. That automation is what turns the sound from a simple oscillator into a performance element. Use the filter to open sharply on certain peaks, close down before the drop, or sweep upward across a fill. If you want something more sinister, try a bandpass setting and let the resonance give it a narrow, vocal quality. Just be careful, because too much resonance can get painfully sharp very quickly. A small resonance move at the right moment is often more effective than a huge sweep the whole time. Now for the secret weapon, frequency shifter. Put this after the filter. This device is perfect for making the siren feel unstable, metallic, and a little alien. A tiny amount can add that facey warble. A larger amount can push it into eerie, disorienting territory. Start subtle, maybe just a few hertz of shift, and then automate it harder only during transitions or the last beat, before a drop. This is a great place to use contrast. Keep the shift low during the main phrase, then spike it at the end of a section. That gives you tension without cluttering the whole arrangement. In drum and bass, those last couple of beats before the drop are prime real estate for this kind of movement. After that, add saturator. This is how you make the siren cut through a dense break and feel a little more hardware-like. A clean siren can disappear once the drums, sub, and bass come in, but saturation gives it harmonics and presence. Start with a moderate drive, turn on soft clip if needed, and trim the output so you're adding character, rather than just volume. If you push it too hard, it can flatten into harsh noise, so keep an ear on the upper mids. Now bring an echo. This is where the dub flavor really comes alive. Set a rhythmic delay time that fits your track, like dotted eighths, quarter notes, or even 16ths depending on how dense the groove is. Keep the repeats filtered so they don't step on the low end or the kick and snare. A little modulation in the delay can make the tails feel tape-like and unstable. The best way to use echo in this style is selectively. Don't leave it blasting all the time. Automate the dry/wet or feedback on certain hits, like the last word in a phrase or the final stab at the end of an 8-bar section. Let the echo answer the break. That call and response energy is very much part of the dub and jungle vocabulary. After echo, add reverb or hybrid reverb for space, but keep it controlled. In a dense DNB mix, too much reverb will wash over the drums and blur the groove. Use a shorter decay for tight spaces, or a longer decay if you want a big cavern feel, but always high pass the low end of the reverb, so it doesn't muddy the mix. A little pre-delay helps keep the siren clear in front of the reverb tail. At the end of the chain, place utility. This is your final control for width and gain. A siren can sound huge in stereo, but you need to check the mono compatibility. If the patch collapses into a weak or facey blob, when summed to mono, back off on the whitening and keep the stereo treatment more subtle. For the siren itself, staying mostly in the mid and high range is usually the move. If it's taking up low-end space, it's going to fight your sub and ruin the groove. If needed, put an EQ before utility and high pass around 150 to 300 Hz. Clean out any rumble, and if the siren gets painful in the upper mids, tame that area gently instead of trying to fix everything with saturation or reverb. In this style, headroom matters. Delay and saturation stack up fast, so leave space early in the chain instead of trying to rescue things at the master. Now let's make it feel like a real performance. Go into arrangement view and automate pitch, filter cutoff, frequency shift amount, echo feedback, reverb wet, and saturator drive. This is where the sound becomes a living part of the track instead of a static effect. A strong arrangement idea is to keep the siren filtered and distant at first, then gradually open it up across 8 or 16 bars, then pull it away just before the drop. That negative space makes the drop hit much harder. A good structure might be this. In the first 8 bars, the siren is restrained and a little muffled. In bars 9 through 16, the pitch starts to rise and the cutoff opens. In the next section, the frequency shift gets more obvious and the echo throws become more dramatic. Then, right before the drop, the siren disappears or collapses into echoes only. When the drums and bass hit, the absence of the full siren makes everything feel bigger. Let's add a few advanced variations. If you want a broken transmitter vibe, try a light dose of redux after saturation and automate bit depth or downsampling only on the tail of a phrase. That gives the feeling of a bad radio signal breaking apart. A slow auto pan can also create drifting stereo instability, which is great for breakdowns or pre-drop tension. If you want a haunted chant character, use narrow bent pass filtering or Forman style shaping, and maybe layer a second oscillator a fifth above at a very low level. Smaller pitch movements work better here than huge jumps. This version feels more ritualistic and eerie, like a voice coming through the fog. If you want a metal siren, push frequency shifter earlier in the chain, use a sharper waveform, and follow it with heavier saturation or something like roar if you want real aggression. A faster, more stepped cutoff modulation can give it that industrial DNB edge. If you want a dub echo cannon, move echo onto a return track and send selected siren hits into it. Then automate feedback spikes for just one phrase. That lets the delay become the main event without drowning the dry signal. A few more teacher notes before you wrap this up. Use short clips rather than endless long notes. In drum and bass, short phrases usually feel more intentional and more professional. Also, check the sound in mono early. A wide siren that sounds amazing in stereo can fall apart in mono if the modulation is too extreme. And keep your resonance under control. Treat it like a performance knob, not a permanent setting. Here's a strong practice exercise. Build a 16-bar midnight siren transition. Use operator or wave-eatable, program a simple note pattern, and let the siren evolve over time. Keep it restrained in the first 4 bars, raise the pitch in the next 4, open the filter in the next 4, and increase warble and echo throws in the final 4. Then export that result as audio and place it in your arrangement. If you want a challenge, make 2 versions, one clean and haunting, one heavily warped and distorted. Compare them in context and see which one supports the drop better. The final takeaway is this: a great midnight amen dub siren is about pressure, timing, and contrast. Start with a clean source, shape the pitch movement, use filter and frequency shifting to destabilize it, add saturation so it cuts through, then use echo and reverb to create space and drama. Keep it controlled with EQ and utility, and automate everything like a real performance instrument. If you do it right, The siren won't just decorate the track, it will announce the next section, raise the tension, and make the drop feel heavier. That's the whole point. If you want, I can also turn this into a rack-style preset walkthrough, a return track dub throw setup, or a dark jungle intro template.